Thank you for leading us in worship. Wow. And I pray we continue in his presence, hearing him speak to us this morning as we open the word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Friends, this is the framework for following Christ. And the title of our message this morning, the framework for following Christ, being upward, inward, outward. Upwardly fixed on him, inwardly conformed to him, outwardly obedient to him and his mission in all of life. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ. As it says in John 3, verse 14, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven. Thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for being obedient, even to the point of death, death on a cross, buried and rising again now to sit at the right hand of God, interceding on behalf of sinners. Intercede on our behalf this morning as we come to you with our wounds, with our faults, with our sin. Lord, with the difficulty of life, we come to you, Jesus. Thank you that we have such a great high priest interceding even now. But as we walk through this passage, strengthen us, equip us to see that as you, through your gospel work, invite us to take hold of you, our intercessor. You also call us and equip us to intercede on behalf of sinners, imploring all to come to you. So may that be clearly seen today, not only seen in what the word says, but seen in our response to it. We pray this in your name, for your glory. Amen. Well, good morning, church. My name is Brent Longenecker. I serve at the Missouri Baptist Convention. And with that is a partnership with Montana. And so I am thankful for that because I was 21 years old when I left Montana to marry a girl from Springfield, Missouri. And she's here with me, with our two girls, Rian and Iris. We are here with my parents as well. They live in Kalispell. And one of our many cousins is sitting in the row as well. And so it's a joy to be with you. We were with you a year and a half ago, and it's good to be back. This time I'm here with my colleague and friend and co-laborer in the gospel, Brad Bennett. He's the director of the Making Disciples group. And later he's going to be leading us in a time of prayer as we dedicate this week to the Lord. So much going on. We'll be in the schools tomorrow and Tuesday, leading up to Tuesday night, where we pray for a packed elementary school. We pray for hundreds to hear and many to respond. And as it's been said over and over again, it's a joy. It's incredible that we get to be a part of it. But with all that we get to be a part of, with all that we have set before us, I want us to first, before we do that, set our eyes on Christ and consider his framework for our lives. Because we all have a framework for life. We all have a blueprint by which we map out our days. The question is, whose framework are you following? Your own or the Lord Jesus Christ's? Right now, if you were to step back and examine your life, how you schedule your days, how you map out your months, how you picture yourself 20 years from now, whose face has the spotlight? On whose head lies the crown? Your own, my own, or the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you're a child of God, you know of these two contesting frameworks for life, of this flesh versus spirit life that you and I are in. It's a battle. And we grow weary and tired in this battle. And so this morning, I want us to see once again the beauty, the joy, the reward of following Christ's framework for our lives. Now, many times when we look or consider his call for our lives, we immediately turn to passages like Matthew 28, to the Great Commission. And we think, as long as I do the mission, I'm faithful to the mission, then surely I will be doing what God wants me to do if I just keep my head down and continue to work. I'm thankful for the faithful workers. It's evident here in this church. And so we enter this week with encouragement with the many volunteers that have signed up for this week. It's going to be hard work. But this morning, I want us to see that the great call of Christ isn't go, but it's to follow him. The great commandment isn't make disciples. Rather, it's to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how that then, an intimate relationship with Jesus, following him, seeing him as your great reward, it's out of that relationship, a heart and love for him, that we are then given his love, which is to overflow in Great Commission living to the community we are in, where a love for God grows into a love for others, where submission to him who has all authority in heaven and on earth becomes a willingness to go to the ends of the earth in a growing devotion to others. And so he says in Matthew 4:19, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The last time I was here with you, I shared how 16 years ago, the Lord called my wife and I to pack our bags and to move halfway around the world to be church planting missionaries in the city of Manila. And so for me, coming from Montana to live in a city of 25 million people, it was a change. But they were enjoyable years, even in a city that large. We served there for over a decade. Our kids were raised in the Philippines. Enjoyable years. But when I look back, I wish that the posture of my heart through it all had been this: a heart preeminently fixed on Christ. But the truth of the matter is that there were seasons in my life where I was more focused on the what of missions rather than the why. Fixated on the commission to go rather than the commissioner, with eyes fixed on Christ. And the result was a ministry based on my performance, where I was constantly comparing myself to missionaries around me, even using the Great Commission as a means to showcase my obedience, all the while forgetting that the great call of Christ isn't go, but follow. And the great commandment isn't make disciples, but to love the Lord our God with all. And then, what follows with a heart fixed on Christ is a growing love for even the least of these. And so he says in Matthew 4:19, follow me. He puts it into proper order. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what is their response? Verse 20, immediately they leave their nets, their old identity, and follow him. So this is the framework of every follower of Christ, to be upwardly fixed on Christ, inwardly conformed to Christ, and outwardly obedient to his mission. The framework being upward, inward, outward. The picture of a disciple and the process by which we make disciples. For what is evangelism? What is discipleship other than leading people to the one you are following? We sang about it this morning, our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, since then we have a great priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is tempted as we are in every respect, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I told my girls last week, I said, be Esther, be bold, go into the presence of God, for the scepter is extended to you. Who's at the right hand of God the Father? It's Christ, who intercedes for you. Take hold of Christ. But as we take hold of Christ, we're also told in Jude 1, verse 23, we're to snatch people from the very flames. So Paul says, we are his ambassadors, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So this is the picture of a disciple. So in Genesis 12, God says to Abram, follow me, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And he says in Matthew 4:19, that very same framework for a disciple's life. Follow Christ, and he will make you fishers of men. So to follow him as he equips us in leading others to the one we are following. There's much going on this week, but today's message is a reminder that he calls us to be Mary's rather than Martha's. Or better yet, Martha's who serve with a Mary heart, genuinely in love with Christ. So you need not ask what the will of the Lord is for your life. This is it. To be upwardly fixed on Christ, inwardly conformed to Christ, outwardly obedient to the commission of Christ. This is his work of calling you, of conforming you, and commissioning you for the glory of God, for the good of your own soul, for the salvation of others, for the rest of your life. So join me this morning as we consider this framework for our lives, which brings us, first and foremost, to the upward call of God in Christ. Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, follow me. And verse 20 says, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. This will forever be the foremost action of every disciple of Christ. And anything else that does not proceed out of a life following after our Savior can never be called true biblical discipleship, however good it may seem in our lives. Consider the example of King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 13. He put himself forward to offer a sacrifice, but it was an unlawful sacrifice. And later when Samuel came, he asked, "What have you done?" And Saul said, I forced myself. He forced himself before God's appointed way. And we know God's response through Samuel. He said, "From this point on, I will look for a man after my own heart." Following after is the only posture of a true biblical disciple. And any attempt to stand in the presence of God apart from God's appointed way will only receive God's appointed wrath. So what is God's appointed way? It is God's appointed man, his own son, Christ Jesus, whom he put forward, Romans 3:24 says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received and followed by faith. Why Christ? Colossians 1:15 says, because Christ is the image of the invisible God. And you and I are called to look to Christ and follow after him. And God the Father, he graciously shows us this. When in Luke 9, verse 35, he speaks from heaven and he says, "This is my son," pointing to Christ. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Are we listening to Jesus Christ? Are we listening to the message from God the Father? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says that long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So woe to the man, woe to the woman, who does not heed the upward call of God, who does not listen and follow after. For not only does God the Father point us to Jesus, so does God the Holy Spirit. John 16, it says that the Holy Spirit would come to guide us into all truth. John 16, 13, and Jesus says, he will glorify me. He will point people to me, Jesus says. Because Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ alone is the one who, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's found in Jesus Christ. So learn the lesson of John the Baptist and let us stop asking if there is another who is to come. Christ alone is the one whom God the Father put forward. Christ alone is the one the Holy Spirit guides us to. And Christ alone is the one all of Scripture invites us to find satisfaction and salvation for our souls. So Scripture says, come. Come to Christ. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3 says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. For why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Incline your ear and come to me here that your soul may live. That's the invitation of God's word. And it's the invitation of the word that became flesh. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This invitation to come is the invitation of God. It's the invitation of His Word, and it's to be the invitation of God's people. For Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride, that's us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let all who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, not only see that Christ is good for me, He's the very good we are to be sharing with our community. So we invite people to come to Christ, to the upward call of God in Jesus. But as we call others to come, to respond to this invitation, the question for us is, are we ourselves following after? Jesus is described in John chapter 10 as being the good shepherd. In John 10 verse 4, he says that the good shepherd goes before his sheep, and his sheep follow after, for they know his voice. Do we know the voice of our good shepherd, or are we following the voice of another? Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. There are many voices out there, but only the voice of our good shepherd leads his sheep to heaven's green pasture. So you and I are called to follow after. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, in response to this, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, the author, and the finisher of our faith. The upward call of God is to fix our eyes on Christ. He's the author, and He's also the finisher of our faith. Which brings us to the second aspect. And that is this, that all who upwardly follow Jesus Christ will be conformed to Christ from the inside out. Meaning genuine, a genuine transformation. And that's what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 4:19. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so immediately they leave their nets, this old identity, to walk in a new way of life, following after Jesus Christ. In this we see that the upward call of God will forever be attached to and never absent of inward transformation. Why? Because even the smallest step toward Christ, listen, smallest of ears, even the smallest step toward Jesus Christ, it involves us stepping away from the world. So Ephesians 4 describes it this way, putting off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, as you put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the upward call of God is that we be inwardly conformed to his Son. So for some of us, this may mean a change in occupation. But for all God's children, it means living according to the occupancy we now share as children of God, heirs with Christ, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It is a new identity that Christ gives. All who follow him are made new. But this new way, it is contrary to the old. James 1:18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Therefore, verse 21 of James 1 says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is describing this argument between believers. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means. For do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So are you a pastor? Are you a deacon? Are you a Sunday school teacher? A doctor? A lawyer? As great as those things are, they mean little to the Father when the real question is, are you following his Son? Are we being conformed to Christ? Or are we being conformed to this world? In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, I am again in the anguish of childbirth until. Until when? Until you become a regular church attender? A 10% tither? Until when? Paul says, I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Because that's the masterpiece God is making in the framework of a life upwardly fixed on Christ to be inwardly conformed to Christ. And that is God's providential will, to work all things together for that good purpose, that you would know Jesus, walk with him, and be transformed into his likeness. Therefore, with that masterpiece, God is bringing us into and creating. Let us leave these nets and follow him. And when should this begin? The answer is today. So this brings us to the third aspect, immediate, obedient action. Matthew 4:19, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it says, immediately. They responded. So when should the upward, inward life lead to outward obedience? The answer is today. And to what extent? Till everything we do comes from a heart genuinely in love with Christ. Where a love for the lost flows out of a heart who knows how much the Lord has done for him and her. So I pray that the mission of this church and all that it does comes from the heart of its members who are fixing their eyes on Jesus Christ. So to what extent till our friends and our neighbors and our community know your two great loves? Your love for Christ and your love for them. See, when we talk about the life of a disciple, we cannot separate it from what it is. It is both a noun and a verb. It's who you are, and it's what you're called to do. It involves your relationship with God and your relationship with others. So Scripture says that we are to follow Christ and fish for men, to be disciples and disciple makers. For evangelism is simply leading people to the one we are following and leading them into this same framework found in God's Word. We see this in the great call of Christ in Matthew 4:19 to follow Him. We see it in Matthew 22 in the great commandment of Christ to love Him with all. And we see it in the commission of Christ, where in love for Him, submission to Him, who has authority in heaven and on earth, becomes a willingness to go to the ends of the earth or the end of our street in a growing love for others. And that is to be the framework of our lives. And why we are to consider, as it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24, to consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. Because there is simply no other way to live for a disciple of Christ. Therefore, if the upward call of God is for us to follow His Son, then we must ask ourselves, is there anything standing in the way of me following Him closely and intimately? Is there anything standing in the way as a stumbling block? Anything stealing my satisfaction from following Him in all of life? Is there any sin that's a weight that easily entangles us day after day? Let me ask it this way. Your enemy, he knows what causes you to take your eyes off Christ and onto something else. Your enemy knows because he often uses it in our lives. As one pastor said, he's the great angler. He knows the exact lure to use in your life. If our enemy knows that sin that so easily entangles us, do we? And if we know what that is, are we willing today, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of our own soul, for the sake of the lost, to lay it down at the cross today? See, He who calls you to follow Him is also the one who carries and takes upon Himself our struggles, our sins, our burdens. And so we see very quickly that this isn't a call to religion. We've tried that before, and we know it does not work. It's a call to come to Christ, to look to Christ, to consider Him greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, to look to Jesus rather than the fleeting pleasures of sin, to taste and see that the Lord is good, till sin be the sourest and Christ the sweetest. So I invite you today to lay those down at the foot of the cross. But if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, Then consider now the good that you withhold from those who need it most. Now, when we talk about evangelism, later we'll have some evangelism training, and we become fearful when we think about that. So let me give you a way out, an excuse. If you have been forgiven little, then speak little. But if you've been forgiven much, do not stop speaking till all have heard how much the Lord has done for you. So in closing, how is God calling you to respond? In Matthew 4:20, they responded immediately. And for the sake of this invitation given to us by Christ, for the sake of your own soul, for the sake of what is set before us with a community of those who do not know Jesus Christ, I implore you, you would respond today in two ways, and I close. What burden of sin do you need to lay down this morning? Lay it down for the sake of your relationship with Christ. And if you have never come to him for the forgiveness of your sins, look to Jesus. See the cross. See the empty tomb. And believe that today he is at the right hand of God. Consequently, Hebrews 7:25 says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Come to Christ today and be saved. What burden of sin do we need to lay down? And second, what burden for the lost do we need to pick up today?